Hello and welcome back to Impacting the World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs, and I want us to get started with our Colossians prayers this morning, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise. We give you all glory and honor. We thank you this morning for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we pray this morning, Colossians prayers 9 through 14, over ourselves from the day we heard of it. We have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight and into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things, I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion, which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption, through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Today we're talking about part two of the God of Restoration. We started looking yesterday at, what God wants to do, how his plan, since man sinned in the Garden of Eden, his plan has been to restore us back to our original condition. He wants to restore, and not only does he want to restore to us, what we lost through Adam and Eve, but he also what it wants to restore to us the physical and material things that we have lost. Our scripture foundation is Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 20, which says, "And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed and so that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence. And he will send you Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one for you. For he must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place, fulfilling everything that God said long ago through his holy prophets." So God is mindful about restoring the restoration of all things that was promised by the prophets in times past. And so this is something that we have to be mindful of. We see throughout the Bible how God, has speaks of restoration in many different areas, and we've seen different accounts. But today we're going to look at one account where, we've been talking about the covenant of peace, shalom, meaning wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. God doesn't want us to lack in any area. He doesn't want us to not have anything. So he wants us to be whole, to be made whole. Amen. And so we see this in this account today. We're going to look at 2 Kings. We want to start at 2 Kings and chapter 4, the account of the Shunammite woman and we'll just read that account real quickly. So for the sake of those who don't know this account. And so in 2 Kings chapter 4, there's one story, of course, of wholeness with the first story, which is the widow woman who her husband had died and the creditors came. But we're not going to speak on that one today. We want to go to 2 Kings chapter verse 11. Amen. And so first of all, this woman, there's a woman who is in Shunem. It actually starts on verse 8. Let's start there. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a rich and influential woman lived who insisted on his eating a meal. Afterward, whenever he passed by, he stopped there for a meal. Verse 9, and she said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by continually. Let us make a small chamber on the housetop and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then whenever he comes to us, he can go up outside the stairs, outside stairs and rest here." One day he came and turned into the chamber and lay there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to Gehazi, I say now to her, you have been most painstakingly and reverently concerned for us. What is to be done for you? Would you like to be spoken for to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. They are sufficient. Later, Elisha said, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, she has no child, and her husband is old. He said, call her. Gehazi called her, and she stood in the doorway. Elisha said, at this season, when the time comes around, you shall embrace a son. She said, no, my lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. But the woman conceived and bore a son at that season and the following year, as Elisha had said to her. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father with a reed. But he said to his father, my head, my head. The man said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he was brought to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, send me one of the servants or one of the donkeys, that I may go quickly to the man of God and come back again. And he said, why go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. As she said, it will be all right. That there is shalom. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, ride fast, do not slacken your peace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi and his servant, behold, yonder is a Shunammite. Run to meet her and say, is it well with you, well with your husband, well with the child? And she answered, it is well. When she came to the mountain of the man of, to the man of God, she clung to his feet. Gehazi came to thrust her away, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is bitter and vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins, take my staff in your hand, and go and lay my staff on the face of the child. If you meet any man, do not salute him. If he salutes you, do not answer him. The mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the child's face, but the boy neither spoke nor heard. So he went back to meet Elisha and said to him, the child is not awakened. When Elisha arrived at the house, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. So he went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. He went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself on him and embraced him, the child's flesh became warm. Then he returned and walked him in the house to and fro, and went up again and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and then he opened his eyes. Then Elisha called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came, he said, take up your son. She came and fell at his feet, bowing herself to the ground. Then she took up her son and went out. Amen. So this is important to know, and I took time to read it because I didn't want to just jump into the next part of it. So it's important to understand why, you know, this whole thing happened. This woman, remember, she didn't have a child. Her husband was old. She was very rich, but she was not whole. Why wasn't she whole? You know, because she did not have the reward, the inheritance that God has promised us, which is a child. The Bible says children are a reward and an inheritance. And so she did not have that. And so this is why the man of God spoke to her. She basically, this child was the prophet's reward, you know, because she went to great lengths to take care of the man of God by, you know, building an extra room in their house and setting it up for him so that he wouldn't have to travel, you know, back and forth in one day in the same place. So this, she received part of her reward of helping the prophet or blessing the prophet was to receive the prophet's reward. Of course, we see that years later, the son was grown. I don't think he was like an old child. He might have been like an adult, you know, teenager or whatever. He might have been just, you know, between maybe 7 and the age of 7 and 12 probably, because if the servants brought him back and then she put him on her knees, so he wasn't really that he wasn't as old as sometimes we think of. Anyhow, the boy died anyways. The woman puts the boy on the takes the boy back to where the promise was made, to the room where the promise was received, which is in the man, you know, which is in the prophet's room. And she left him there. Why? Because this was a reminder to God that, you know, this was the place where the promise was made. I didn't ask for it, but this is where I received this prophet's reward. And so she put him back in that room. When she put him back there, of course, we know, see the story. She went over to the man of God, and all she was speaking out of her mouth was shalom. You know, it is well, meaning shalom. And basically, you know, as she got to the man's house, we saw how he didn't know God had, you know, he said to her that, he said to his servant that God had hid it from him. But the only thing that she confessed out of her mouth was shalom, the peace of God, the wholeness. You know, she confessed that to include her only child. You see, the enemy had stolen from her, you know, what the reward that God had given to her. And rather than just sit around and accept it as, well, that this is what the devil does, she decided to go back to the man of God where she received that prophet's reward. And so she confessed shalom, she confessed wholeness, she confessed, you know, restoration, because shalom, part of shalom is restoration, you know. And so she went to the man of God, he came back, he, you know, sent the servant, he goes back, then now he prays over the child, he comes back to life, meaning that God restored back to her what was her portion, what was her inheritance. Now, this is not, you know, this is not the only thing, the only part about this Shunammite woman. Her story continues. And this is what I wanted us to look at, really, in 2 Kings chapter 8. Because if we had just gone here, we wouldn't have understood what happened in 2 Kings chapter 4. So now in 2 Kings chapter 8, let's read from verse 1 to verse 6 so we can see exactly what took place here. Now Elisha said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, arise and go with your household and sojourn wherever you can. For the Lord has called for a famine, and moreover, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did as the man of God had said. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to appeal to the king for her house and land. Then Hazael, the servant of the man of God, said, tell me the great things Elisha has done. As Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha brought back to life. When the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed to her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. So this is the part that, you know, we are told of this Shunammite woman, how she comes in, you know, and she meets Gehazi, the servant. So now if you, just this portion in 2 Kings, chapter 8, verse 1 through 6, is the connection to what happened in 2 Kings chapter 4. Remember, restoration took when a son had died. Elisha prayed over the son, and God restored him back to life. And so Gehazi was the witness. You see, he had gone. He saw that the child was dead. Now, God doesn't do things by accident. When that account took place, it was part of her restoration, not for just that particular time, but it was also going to be what God was going to use for her to be restored for the 7 years that she left her property. Remember, she left the land because of the famine, and so she had to go into the land of the Philistines for 7 years. She left everything that she had. Prior to that, remember, she was wealthy. The Bible told us in 2 Kings chapter 4 that this woman was wealthy. She lived among her people. She didn't need anything. When the man of God asked her, what is it you need? She says, there's nothing that I need. You know, I'm amongst my people. And so she had money. She had everything. During the famine, she lost her property. She lost her land. She lost her business, practically, or whatever it was she was doing, you know, that brought in those resources. And as she goes this way, you know, so now God started restoration with her son, and she's back. Now she's with the Philistines 7 years. You know, that the land was dry, it was barren, nothing was going on. So now she goes to the king to appeal. This is where, you know, she went to the king to appeal for her house and her land. That's what she wanted to do. She goes to the king, and what happens? It just so happens that the same witness that was there, that was present when her son died, and, you know, her son was restored to health, back to life, is now present right here, this moment. This is why I said God doesn't do things by accident. He happened to be speaking to the king, and he's telling the king of all the great things that Elisha had done. And he remembers this account on the same day that this woman needs restoration. You see how God works? He used that situation in verse 4, 7 years later. And here's this guy, the servant who was there, who was present that day, speaking to the king about it. And then she comes up, and she comes to the king's door, or she comes to the presence of the king. And here's look at the timing. The king talks with Gehazi, the servant, and says, "Tell me all the great things he has done." And now he's telling about how he restored the dead to life. And this woman shows up at that specific moment. As she's coming, she's appealing to the king for her house and her land. You see, it's like going into the courtroom and appealing for the stuff that the enemy has stolen from you. And so here Gehazi says, "This is the woman, this is the son whom Elisha brought back to life." And look at what happened. When the king asked the woman, she told him. What did the king ask the woman? The king asked her about the account. Is it true that Elisha restored your son back to life? And she explained the story. So you can imagine where she said, "I didn't even have a child. My husband was old. And because I built him a chamber, this was," it's like putting God in remembrance here. "I didn't have a child, you know, I built the man of God a chamber. And then he promised me, he prophesied over me. He gave me this prophetic word that when the time comes around, I'll have a child. The child came, sure enough, and I received my prophet's reward, but then the child died. And so I went and put him back where the promise was made, and I went to the man of God who made the promise, you know, who prophesied over me, and he came back, and this, yes, and Gehazi was there, he was present, and this is what happened." That's all the king needed to hear. Look at that. Now, had Gehazi not been there, probably the story would have been different. But God had already started a process of restoration for this woman at that time, using her child, even though she did not recognize it. The king says, "Appoint to her a certain officer," verse 6, "saying, restore all that was hers." Just by hearing her story, the favor of God is working for her. The king says, "Tell, you know, this officer, restore all that is hers, all the fruits of the field since the day she left the land, even now." We're talking of sevenfold restoration. The Bible says, "When the thief is, he shall restore sevenfold." This is what happened. The woman left, you know, for seven years, and God restored back to her, restored, you know, everything that she lost in the 7 years. Now, this restoration is part of the wholeness benefit package, the shalom that God desires for you and I. And so this is such a powerful account, because if you look at the timing, you know, because God keeps his own word. God keeps his promises. In Acts 3:19-21, what did he say? That heaven must retain Jesus until the restoration of all things has taken place, fulfilling everything that God has said long ago through his holy prophets. So whatever was spoken of years ago by the prophets, if it hasn't yet come to pass in our lives, God will not stop his restoration process until each and every one of us receives everything that God has promised us. Amen? So God never forgets his people. He's got a covenant of peace with us. He's a God of peace, and he's also the God of restoration. He wants us, he doesn't want us to lose out on anything that he has promised us in any area of our lives. And so again, if you remember, I said yesterday that, you know, we eternal life is part of God's restoration package for us. Now, how do we obtain eternal life? It is through salvation. We talked about John 10:10 when Jesus said, "I came that they might have life, you know, to the full till it overflows." Amen. So again, God not only wants us to just have eternal life, included in process of restoration is, you know, for us to possess, you know, external things such as properties or riches, as we saw in this woman's story. Not only was her child physically restored back to her, but her material things, external things, were being restored to her sevenfold. Amen. And so God is in that business of restoring to us, whether it's marriages, whether it's material things, whether it's friendship, things that we have lost in this lifetime, you know, as a result of, you know, the enemy stealing from us. Jesus said the thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. Now, of course, we have a part to play where we may have opened the door for the enemy to come in by, you know, sinning, because that's one of the things that will allow him to come into our life and take stuff. Now, if there's a situation where you've lost something, you need to find out, "Lord, first of all, I repent for whatever I did, you know, to cause this situation to arise in my life. If it is as a result of a sin that I've committed, I repent of it." And then after you repent, you know, 1 John 1:9 says, "God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Once God receives, you know, once you repent, God receives your prayer and he forgives you. Then now you move on to ask for restoration. One thing that is key here in this account, the reason I use this account, is that even though this woman knew restoration was part of our benefits package, she still had to go to the king to appeal. Amen. Many times the enemy will come and steal from us, and even though it's part, you know, so in the salvation package, restoration is part of it. You know, we are saved, we've given our lives to Jesus Christ, and we just think, well, okay, everything should fall into place. No, we still have to go, like the woman, go to the king, to our king, you know, and appeal our case, which is what she did. She went to the king. The Bible says she went to the king to, you know, to appeal for her household and her land. And so, you know, this is verse 5. As Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and land. You see, there's something that you have to do. She didn't just get the house and the land back. She had to go before the king to make an appeal. And so what does that look like in our situation? Well, we can go to God and appeal to God to give us, you know, to appeal to God for the things that the enemy has stolen from us. You know, you don't just sit there and lose stuff. You know, God has blessed you with something, and then you lose it, and you think it's an okay thing. No, you need to go back to God and appeal. I was talking to somebody yesterday who mentioned to me, and I've got several clients who have spoken to me about how they have these contracts, and then they lose them. And I said, well, you can't just keep quiet about it. You have to open your mouth and go back to God. Use the favor confessions. But you can appeal to God for those things that the enemy has stolen from you, and not just sit there and say, well, it's okay, I'll wait for the next thing that God has given me. No, God already did give you stuff. You need to go back, appeal to him like this woman did. She appealed for the land. She appealed for her house, you know, and then she got much more, because the king not only appointed a certain officer to give her back her land and her house, he said, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of her field since the day that she left the land, even until now. So this was a total restoration that was taking place in this woman's life. I mean, sevenfold restoration. Her house, so which means for each year that she did not, you know, produce fruit in her land, that year, whether it was her fault or not, which it wasn't, you know, it was because of the, as a result of the famine, but the king is saying for everything she has lost in these 7 years due to the famine, let everything be restored back to her, not just her house, but everything else. So here, the restoration of the fruit of the land is talking about external things. This is really talking about her finances, because as she's going back, you know, she can have her house, but she needs to serve someone. It's again that going back to the story of the woman with the issue of blood, all that she had on physicians until she had nothing, no more money, and instead she grew worse and not better. When she came across Jesus, he said, your faith has made you whole. That wholeness there was talking about, you know, when Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, yes, it talked about her issue of blood going away, stopping at that particular moment. It dried up. But then he continued, and he said, go your way, you know, and go in peace. You know, so her, the peace there was going shalom, meaning that let everything be restored back to her. Jesus was also speaking of restoration for her. So what good does it do her to have this issue dried up, but she's broke? And so Jesus, when he spoke of her faith had made her whole, not only did that spirit of infirmity, that sickness go, but also she was going to be restored for those 12 years that she had lost whatever she, the enemy had stolen from her. She was going to get all that money back. That was a 12-fold restoration. So keep in mind that God is a God of restoration, and he keeps his word. Amen. And he wants us to be whole. He wants, you know, he has this plan of restoration. You may not necessarily understand it when it's happening or when certain things are happening, but just like the Shunammite woman, God will use certain situations to help with your restoration process. In fact, this woman's child dying wasn't just a question of the child dying. He needed to die in order for the restoration process to begin in her life. And by the time the 7 years was up, that same story, that same account of how God restored that child back to life through the prophet of God and Gehazi being there as a witness for her, that is what helped her to get back everything that she had lost in the, you know, 7 years of famine. So, yes, we may not understand how God is doing it, and we don't need to understand that. It is not, you know, it's not on, it's, we are not the ones who are doing the restoration. God is the one who does the restoration. All we need to do is to trust it, to trust that God is working behind the scenes to bring back, to restore all the things that have been spoken of the prophet, holy prophets about us, that and that we need to have those things that God is, has desired for us to have. Now, we're out of time this morning, but tomorrow we'll continue. And I want us to look at what God, specifically from the Word of God, wants to restore to us. We talked about Zoe life yesterday. Now, remember, Zoe life is the, you know, God kind of life, which is Zoe is the Greek word. And I spoke about that yesterday. And this is what the life that Jesus is talking about, that he came to give us life. And his primary method of restoration is through, you know, God's primary method of restoration is through the redemptive work of Jesus. And so we need to understand, you know, what is, how is this process of restoration? What exactly is God restoring back to us other than, you know, just the material goods? What spiritually, how does this take place? And so we'll begin to look at that. And, you know, by the time we're done, I believe that if you follow these principles, you will see things being restored back to you that the enemy has stolen. Again, if there's something that right now you are missing that the enemy has stolen, go to the Lord. Appeal to him for restoration of everything that the enemy has stolen from you. Amen, and it shall be well with you. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, and may God bless you and meet you at your very point of need, and whatever is wrong in your life, may he make it right I thank you all for coming on this morning, and by God's grace, we'll speak again tomorrow morning. Be blessed. Bye-bye.